Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Cheltimer, my co-host Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, Sharon Ramsey-Curtis, who is exploring how to develop children's picture books. So Sharon, what is the most important thing you've learnt from the publication of Edward Covered?
Well, I alluded to it earlier. The biggest mistake in the first version of Edward Covered was I had very bad equipment. I needed, and I treated myself to a high-quality scanner printer, and I've just been thrilled with it. I can do whatever I want with it, and I get good results. I've learned that in terms of writing a story, you need to do like endless rewrites and read alouds. Like you need to read aloud it over and over, and where you stumble on things, you need to cut those parts out and recreate them and so on. And so that was good. And the other thing that I kind of learned about it, and I had seen this with my paintings, sometimes you just need to set it aside for a few days and leave it be. I used to do that with paintings, turn them face to the wall and not look at them, and then turn them back and walk, and then you'd say, oh, there, it needs to be fixed there. And it's the same with the storybooks. Once I leave them for a little while and read them again, say, oh, okay, no, that doesn't agree, or this is wrong.
Yeah. Do you ever get other people to read them for you as well, or read them to children?
I haven't had people read them to other children. I have had people read them. Sometimes I find it's a little bit tricky because other people read them and they give me advice I don't want to hear. So I sometimes have to be brave about listening to them.
Well, that's always the case.
Yes, yeah.
But I know I try mine out on my grandchildren and they're very forthright about what works and what doesn't work.
Yes. And I have a friend who's a university professor, and we have this system, computer system, where she can put in suggested changes, like mostly here we're talking about grammar and things like that. She can put them in one color and send it back to me, and I can either accept it or reject it.
Right.
It's an amazing thing.
Yeah, track changes. Will your next book be a traditional picture book with illustrations on every page, or how's it going to work?
It will be a traditional picture book, although I'm learning about that as well. Now, I guess in the trade, the sort of the official trade, a picture book is anything under 1,000 words sometimes, and they're encouraging people to do 500
right.
words. And I'm a very wordy person, so that was a bit tricky for me. But yes, the next one is called Gladiola Groundhog Sleeps In. I wrote it in 1987 when I started teaching kindergarten, because there was nothing going on in February, and there are no groundhog books out there. I think I found like three. So I thought I would write one on the old primary typewriter, and I did, you know, just little scratchy drawings, and the kids loved it. I told it every year for years and years. So then I've decided to upgrade it. So Gladiola will be a traditional picture book. There will be pictures on every page, and I have probably halved the text from what I originally wrote. I'm down to, I think, about 620 words.
Well, I think part of the trick in picture books, as I understand it, is that sometimes you leave the words out altogether and let the pictures tell the story. You don't necessarily have to
Yes.
put that into text.
And the people that I work with have sort of kept telling me that and telling me that. I sort of had these pictures of snow because each month the snow gets bigger and bigger, and I kept making more and more snow. And in the end, the book will just say it snowed and snowed and snowed.
Right.
Because the pictures are there.
How are you planning to create this book? Are you going to do it yourself again?
I am. I worked with Create Space, and they were amazing. The thing that's so amazing about Create Space is you can call them 24/7, and you will get a person on the line who can answer whatever question you want to talk about what you have to do to fit it into its, I guess, layout is what you call it. And the other thing that was so neat about them was that not once did I get a kind of a, oh my goodness, it's an old lady on the phone and she doesn't know anything. You know, they just said, no problem. Let me, and what do you want? What do you know? And where do you want to go from there? So they were fabulous. And the other thing that's really good about them is I can get one book or I can get a bunch if I want. I don't have to, I only pay per book for them. So mm-hmm. So that's worked out very well for me.
So have you found that your writing of this and illustrating of this book has taken away from your other creative pursuits, or are you just fitting it in?
Well, Gladiola I had thought would come out for Groundhog Day 2017. That was my plan for her. But I'm looking at it now. I'm still a lot of drawings, and I have all the drawings done. A lot of painting needs to be done. And each time I do a painting, I change the whole thing and say, oh, you can do this way and that way. I'm thinking now a more realistic expectation will be 2018.
Right, yeah. It is a long process, isn't it?
It is, and I had no idea.
Yeah. Well, we'd love to hear a little bit from Gladiola, Groundhog Sleeps In. That's quite a tongue twister.
It is, it is. Okay. Once upon a time, Gladiola Groundhog lived in a comfortable bungalow at the edge of a field very near the great dark woods. Each November, as she went to bed, she set her alarm clock to go off at 1:30 January. She wanted to wake in plenty of time to enjoy a cup of hot chocolate and pancakes before her big day on February 2nd. That is the day when groundhogs rise from their deep sleep and check to see if long-awaited spring is on its way. One year, when she went to bed in early November, she became distracted and forgot to wind her clock. Outside, it snowed and snowed and snowed. By the end of January, the snow almost covered the crooked smokestack. Just a tiny wisp of smoke was able to escape. February 2nd came and went, but Gladiola did not get out of bed. The wind howled, the snow fell, and Gladiola slept on. At the end of March, the children who lived across the creek and over the meadow were tired of winter weather. They went outside to try a spring activity and got out a kite to fly. The wind was so fierce and blustery that they were unable to launch it. In April, robins came back to the countryside. Everywhere they looked, there were big mounds of snow. No fat, juicy worms in the garden. No spring sunshine. Only gray winter days with skies like cotton wool. Inside, Gladiola snuggled more deeply into her bed. Outside, the wind kept on blowing and shrieking. In late May, Gladiola rolled over, looked closely at her clock, and went back to sleep. She was certain it was not yet time to get up. June arrived, and the north wind continued to blow and rampage about. The wild winter blizzards grew stronger. Robin sat on the bare branches and shivered as the snow continued. The children peered sadly out of the bedroom window and wondered if they would ever have spring and summertime fun again. In July, the children could stand it no longer. They made a plan and a map. They would go to Gladiola's bungalow. They trudged through the deep snow, calling, "Gladdy, Gladdy, please get up right now." Eventually, the children made their way to her home and shoveled to her front door. In her warm bed, Gladiola heard the children calling and shoveling. She sat straight up and was astonished and amazed by all of the commotion. She went to the front door and with great curiosity poked her head out and looked around. The children begged Gladiola, "It's summertime. You'd better get up right now. We are so tired of winter." With that, Gladiola realized there were no shadows to frighten her back into her burrow for 6 more weeks of winter. The weather could finally change. The sun shone, big puddles appeared, the snow melted. The flowers grew and leaves popped out. Robins threw away their scarves and toques. The children had all kinds of spring and summer fun. Now, every year in November, Gladiola invites the children to her bungalow. She prepares a party with hot chocolate and fancy cakes. Then it is time for their very special autumn ritual. Gladiola gets out her clock. She sets it and winds it. The children double-check it. Then they tuck her into bed, quietly close her front door, and go back home. Gladiola takes great pleasure in the autumn ritual. She settles in for a long sleep and looks forward to seeing the children when February 2nd comes about again. Everyone is happy to know that Gladiola's valley will never again be shrouded with snow when summer arrives. And they all lived happily ever after.
That's really sweet. And best wishes for the launch of that little book.
Well,
in, as you say, in 2018, perhaps.
Maybe.
You never know. Now, the other book, Edward Uncovered, where can listeners buy that book?
Probably the best bet is to phone me. My phone number is 905-355-3257. And you can find out more about him. We have a website that's called the Artful Garden Gallery. We have a little gallery in our home. So it's all small, lowercase letters, theartfulgardengallery.com. And Edward is in there, and there's a little blog about the creative stuff we do in the garden and all of that sort of thing.
That's great. Okay, so I'm going to repeat that number for listeners. It's 905-355-3257. Well, thanks very much for coming in today, Sharon. It was lots of fun.
Well, thank you. It's stretched me, and that feels good.
Good. And listeners, thanks for tuning in today. If you'd like to connect with us, send your comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to our website, www.wordonthehills.com. At the website, you'll also find all our previous broadcasts archived, so you can listen to them anywhere and anytime. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us again next week, right here on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.